This is a reading from the letter to the Colossians. We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Logos became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of Christ.
Back on September 8th, I preached a sermon that had as its readings Genesis chapter 1 and the first creation story, the 6 days of creation, and then also John chapter 1, which is the same gospel reading you just heard Jeff read this morning. And I don't want to regurgitate that sermon in its entirety at all. It's there for you to see on our website, and I'd recommend that you give it a listen if you haven't listened to it already, or if you just like to be reminded of it. But a couple of things that I had said in that sermon was that in those two readings, on the one hand, we could see that first creation story in Genesis 1, and we could also see a creation story in John chapter 1 as well. You know, anything that has been made has come through the Logos, right? But one observation we made was that in that Genesis 1 story, and really throughout the Hebrew Bible, there is clearly a great distance between the creator and that which is created. But then I made the observation that when we get to the Gospel of John, we start to see the distance between creator and creation shrink significantly. And then I said, over the next few months, we're going to be working through the Hebrew Bible, and this is going to be the picture that we get through everything we talk about in the Hebrew Bible until we get to just before Christmas when we get to explore the Gospel of John. And guess what? Today is that day. So here we are now with the Gospel of John, going to be talking more thematically about this closeness between Creator and creation. And we want to get you ready for what's to come over the next few months. Now, Tuesday, we are going to go to Matthew and Luke because that's where our Christmas stories live in the Gospels. And next Sunday, the 29th, is going to be a lessons and carols service. And so we're going to use the references from Matthew and Luke to tell the story as we intersperse Christmas carols in between. But after that, it's all about the Gospel of John that'll take us all the way through till Easter. Another point I had made in that sermon on September 8th is that, well, as you heard Jeff read, he said, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. When you read almost any English translation of the Bible, you will see that it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what are we doing here? Well, two things. New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word for word is logos. That is a correct translation to use. Logos in Greek means word, but that's not all that it means. And at the time that John was writing, 600 years earlier, a man named Heraclitus had started to contemplate the ground of all being. And this philosophical concept of the ground of all being, the foundation of all things, the basis for which all things happen to exist, he began to call the Logos. And a few hundred years later, that idea was expanded upon. A couple hundred years after that, it was expanded upon further. And now John is expanding upon it yet again, but in light of what he knows about Jesus Christ. And so that's why we've chosen to read it, saying in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, because that's what John is talking about. And if we leave it as the word word, it's not so clear. So given that this is what John is talking about, his take on it, as we discover as the pages of the gospel unfold to us, is that he is making that connection between the Logos and with Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about Jesus Christ, we have to remind ourselves again, and I know you've heard this before, but it bears repeating, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's a title. It'd be more correct to say Jesus the Christ. The Hebrew version of that title is Messiah, and both titles mean the Anointed One. And so, Jesus is the Christ. The Apostle Paul really amps this up because most of the time in his letters and in the other letters that are attributed to him but that he didn't write, you will more often than not see Christ come first. He'll talk about Christ Jesus. If he talks about Jesus at all, it's always paired up with the title Christ. In a couple of places, Paul just uses Jesus' name all by itself, but it tends to be in a passage that has already been written that he's including in his text. Paul's preference is to talk about Christ, which makes sense when you think about it, because the Apostle Paul never met Jesus, the man. He never encountered Jesus face to face. When Paul was going by his old name, Saul, and was persecuting Christians because he was a devout Pharisee and couldn't see how this special attention to Jesus made any sense at all, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, he was arrested by a mystical visionary encounter of the risen Christ. And when Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" that voice said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Which is a really interesting answer to give. Because how could Paul be persecuting Jesus when Jesus had already been ascended, when he was no longer to be seen on earth? How is it that Paul could be persecuting Jesus? There is a mystical experience here, and that experience Paul had was of the risen Christ. So he writes about Christ, and Paul did all of his writing before any of the Gospels were written, and certainly before the Gospel of John was written. The Gospel of John was written 65 years after the time of Jesus. So there had been 6.5 decades of contemplation about what it meant that Jesus presented himself as who he was. And John's approach to telling that story took a different direction than what we see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm going to suggest to you that we could look at it this way. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of Jesus. The Gospel of John tells the story of the Christ. And if that sounds like, isn't this all the same? Well, let me make you think about something else again. Jesus is the Christ, but the Christ is not Jesus. Let me try to explain that in another way. Poodles are dogs, but dogs are not poodles. Right? Because there are German shepherds and there are Dalmatians and Great Danes, right? So Jesus is the Christ, but the Christ is not Jesus. And we see in John's gospel that he is talking really about the Christ, who is certainly embodied in Jesus. But the Christ is something that existed before the baby was born and then given the name Jesus. Here's something to think about. If you're having difficulty with that idea, Christ is not Jesus. Where was Jesus before he was born? Are we to think that there is this human being that's been residing in heaven from eternity past, just waiting for the opportunity in a physical form to appear as a baby at the moment Mary gave birth? That's a really difficult thing to hold on to. That's a difficult thing to imagine. But if we understand that the Christ has existed long before and is now incarnated in the baby that is born, which is given the name Jesus, well, now we're on to something. Incarnation, by the way, simply means that something is found to be in flesh. Embodied is what we usually say. The word carne has a Latin root that means meat. So if you are a carnivore, you are a meat eater. If you are having chili con carne, you are eating chili with meat. And so to be incarnate is to be enfleshed, to be in meat, to be embodied. And so the Christ is incarnated in Jesus, the one that was born to Mary, who grew up to be a man and was a physical human being, just like every other human being. That's what's going on. But the Christ is pre-existent. The Christ is prior to that. We know the Christ as the second person of the Trinity, but the concept of the Trinity wasn't yet developed at the time that John is writing. So we can't really talk about the second person of the Trinity in that part of the gospel, but that is how we would understand it now. When we talk about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son is the Christ, which has been from beyond all time. So Jesus embodies the Christ. Jesus incarnates the Christ. And God, the Gospel of John is about the Christ as embodied in Jesus. Now, we could say with this talk of incarnation, which is the theological term we use to talk about Jesus, that really Jesus is the second incarnation. The first incarnation, we could argue, is the creation itself. And here's here how now, with that distance we find in Genesis chapter 1, that we have to rethink it. And that's part of the reason why the distance between creator and created is a lot less in the Gospel of John. When we think about what our creation story tells us, in the beginning there was just God, right? God is. That's all there is. And then God decides to create the universe. Now, we typically think, well, yeah, God created the universe, so the universe is there, and God is here, and they're very much separate. That's how it works. But does it really? Because where did the stuff that the universe is come from? Well, according to our theology, there's the one phrase in Latin we call ex nihilo. It came out of nothing. But did it really come out of nothing? No, the idea is that God is the source of that creation. So if the material that is the universe came from God, it is of God and is God in that sense. And I can hear someone might say, well, hold on now, you're getting into that pantheism thing, right? Where God is all and all is God. Well, no, not quite. But all I'm just trying to say is the source of all that is if it comes from God, then it bears the very material of God, if you will. Now, someone still might say, well, wait a minute, Derwin. I mean, you could go ahead and build this prayer desk, right? That doesn't mean you're the prayer desk. It doesn't mean the prayer desk is you. Certainly not. But understand, I didn't make the wood, right? The wood already existed, and I might have shaped it to make this thing. But if there is nothing at all, and the wood appears from me that I might make it, then what is the source of the wood if not me? What is the source of the universe if not God, God's self? And this is what we see being hinted at in the Gospel of John. It said that at the beginning was the Logos was with God, the Logos was God. And by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, John is equating the Christ with the Logos. That's the argument he's making at the beginning of this Gospel. That this philosophical concept that had emerged 600 years earlier is onto something, and the Christ is what John is arguing is what that was all about. And so he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And so life itself is sourced in God. The ability to be conscious, the ability to live day by day is sourced in God, in the Logos, in Christ. And this isn't even John's invention. The letter to the Colossians, which has been attributed to Paul but wasn't written by Paul, it was likely written about in the 80s, so about 50 years after the time of Jesus. This was the first reading you heard Jeff read. Said this, he, speaking of the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Obviously, can't be the first created thing, but firstborn as in of prominence over all of creation. For in him, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things have been created through him. And for him, he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This language we tend to speed over without contemplating what it says. Everything that is sourced in God. And the Logos is God, and the Christ is God. And, as the Gospel of John will say a bit later in verse 14, the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. The Logos became flesh. That's when Jesus shows up. Jesus is the embodiment of that. Couple more thoughts for this here. We tend to treat and call John chapter 1 the preamble of the gospel. And I think that's a little bit unfortunate because of what we tend to do with preambles. It certainly is a preamble in the sense that in this reading, it talks about the beginning from eternity past, and then the portion that we read this morning ended making reference already to the crucifixion, right? So it's already given a synopsis, an overview, and then we're going to get to the story in the next chapter. So it certainly is a preamble in that sense, but what we tend to do with a preamble is read it once and forget about it. Because the story really begins after the preamble, right? And what's the story of the Gospel of John all about? Well, it's about Jesus, right? No, it's about the Christ. It's about the Logos. That's how the book starts. And so we must be careful to keep that in mind. This is the thing that makes the Gospel of John so distinct from the others. John is talking about something beyond merely the life of Jesus. He's talking about something that is of grand significance that isn't always apparent, but he's arguing is being made apparent through Jesus the Christ. One of the things that he says in the beginning here is that in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, it's actually kind of fascinating. I did not plan this, but my remarks this morning about how little light there is in here kind of fits rather well. Because the point about light is you don't look at the light. You don't need light to see the light. It is by the agency of light that you are able to see. And the lack of light means there's no vision. So for you on this side who couldn't read the liturgy booklet, and those of you who could, it's because you've got light here and you don't. The light enables us to see. If we didn't have any light in here at all, we wouldn't see each other, we wouldn't see the chairs that we're sitting on. But because light is present, now we are able to see. And the Gospel of John is talking about how we are going to be able to see much more clearly what is going on between the Creator and the creation, which had always been seen as totally separate throughout the Hebrew Bible. And we are discovering, because of the incarnation of Christ Jesus, that the distance between Creator and creation is much, much closer, which is going to be a fascinating thing to comprehend. Let me close with this observation. I am drawing a lot from a man named Richard Rohr. He's a Catholic priest and a Franciscan monk. He is a mystic. He's a contemplative. He understands that contemplation must be married with action because faith without works is dead. And one of the fascinating ways that he tries to get this point across so that we can understand what's going on is he puts it this way. God loves things by becoming them. God loves things by becoming them, which is a really interesting way to look at it. If we go back to the beginning when God is, and if our understanding is that God is complete in and of God's self, that God needs nothing or whatever, then why on earth create in the first place? If not out of the love of wanting to create something. And of taking of God's own self to create the universe, we could say that from 13.8 billion years ago, the universe was already imbued with the love of God as God brought it into being. And now, as human beings have evolved, as we have done with our mental capacity, our appreciation for beauty, our thought about meaning and truth and all of these things, in Christ Jesus, God shows God's love for humanity by becoming us. And that closeness between the Creator and that which is created is something we are invited to participate in through everything that we're going to read about Jesus in the Gospel of John. So hold on to your hats. It's going to be a really fascinating journey once we get back to it in the first Sunday in January. And if you haven't figured it out, this entire sermon is entirely a preamble. But please don't just forget about it. Just understand that we're setting up where we're going between now and Easter. But hope to see you Tuesday night for our Crandallite Christmas Eve service, next Sunday for our Lessons and Carols of Christmas, and then we'll dive in to the Gospel of John. Amen.